Welcome to the Being Forces Friendly podcast, which is all about partnering with defence. In this new season, we focus on personal stories of different members of the Armed Forces community to understand their unique experiences and hear more about their lives.
Hello and welcome to the Being Forces Friendly podcast with me, Tony Blaney, and joining me today is the fantastic Sally Orange, MBE. Hi Sally, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Good to see you, Tony.
Good to see you too. Thank you for joining me and thank you for joining us today to share your absolutely inspirational story. So we'll start at the beginning and tell us a bit about yourself.
So, yep, Sally Orange, that is my name, because quite often people think that I've changed my name because of what I do. And I have served for 22 years in the Royal Army Medical Corps. Unfortunately, I was medically discharged in 2019 due to poor mental health. But I've gone on and done quite a few different things in that space since then, which, yeah, hopefully we'll explore in the next...
Well, you're very modest, quite a few different things. I mean, I believe you've got your name in the Guinness World Records somewhere. How many times?
Six times.
Yeah. Only six. Wow. I mean, so let's dive into it then. So your role actually within Army Medical Corps was physiotherapy?
That's right, yes, yeah.
So there's a natural synergy there with sport. For me personally, and I think many others would agree, sport, physical health, mental health, they go together hand in glove. You know, we've always said a healthy mind, healthy body. So how did you face you know, those mental challenges, those demons, through sport?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, couldn't agree more. And sport has changed my life. I was very fortunate that I did the Invictus Games in 2016, and, you know, really saw the power of sport, not just for myself but so many other people as well. And I think anyone who's watched the Invictus Games around the world, mm-hmm. of what it brings together, you know, I mean, you just need to think of any sport does that, and it can be of all different levels. And I think that's what I very much try and get across with my sport. I say my sport, I've done quite a few, but running is something that I found really helped with my mental health. And it was something that I'd done when I was younger, but then I broke my leg at 16 and I didn't run again until I was 34, when I decided that I would take on my first marathon. I got a place for the London Marathon, and, you know, that the feeling of getting that notification that you're going to be taking it on, and I thought I'd do it slightly different. So I did it dressed as a superhero, because raising money is a challenge. And so, yeah, I crossed that finish line dressed as Supergirl, and I think it was the first time that I actually felt like a superhero. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sparked from there. And so I, the next year, thought, oh, I want to do it again, and thought of my surname,
yeah,
Orange, and I thought, I'm going to dress as an orange. And I got the Guinness World Record for the first marathon as a Supergirl, and then at this one, yeah, got the fastest marathon as a piece of fruit.
So that's your first marathon, and then your first one dressed as a fruit.
Yeah.
How many have you done since?
I've now done 82 marathons. After that, I went to Afghanistan and I dressed as a banana, doing that marathon, which was really fun. But I kind of realised that I was becoming part of a bigger community, and that there was a real sense of purpose in that. When I wore these different costumes, first of all, it made people smile, and it's always nice to make people smile. But then I realised people would come and ask me why, and so I started to say, actually, I wanted to break the stigma associated with poor mental health. And it ends up being a conversation opener, and people will often explain that they or someone they know has or is struggling, and it just really subtly starts that conversation in, you know, just a normal way about mental health. So yeah, it's kind of gone on from there, and, you know, I've now been all around the world. I ran a marathon on every continent. So I am the only person in the world that's ran a marathon on every continent dressed as a piece of fruit. But then earlier this year, I wanted to do something more with that challenge, and I wanted to take this mental health message around the world. So I took on a challenge to run 7 marathons on 7 continents in 7 consecutive days, which no female veteran had ever, no female military person had ever done. Only 5 British females have ever taken on that challenge before. So, yeah, was really, really proud to, you know, to do that and complete it.
Yeah, I remember it well. I remember following your social media channels at that time. And the thing, talking about breaking down barriers, mental health, and the stigma that historically has been associated with it, the thing that I absolutely loved was, you know, you use social media in a very untraditional way, in the sense that your channel wasn't all happy smiles, you know, how fantastic and easy you made it look. You were honest about some of the challenges that you were facing mentally and physically, because that's going to take its toll. And you were confident enough to share that message, which I think is leading the way in breaking down those barriers even more.
I'd hidden it for 20 years, my depression and anxiety. And there's a few things to that, which now I think, well, how could anyone know that there was a problem? Because I wasn't telling anyone, and I became really good at hiding it, because I would only go out when I was 100%. So people would only see me at my best. It was kind of seeing the shop window as opposed to the back office, basically. But yeah, you know, on my fourth marathon in Dubai, I remember, you know, really struggling with my stomach. And it was along the boardwalk in Dubai, and I saw these lampposts, and I told myself, you've just got to run to that next lamppost, and then you can walk to the next one, and then you can run again, and then you can walk. And that was 3 miles I did of that, because I couldn't see the rest of that marathon. I couldn't see the fact that I'd got 4 more marathons to go in this challenge. I could only see that next lamppost. So after 3 miles, I felt a bit better, and I was able to continue, and I did finish that marathon. But then next on to Madrid, I think is probably the one that you're talking about, where I cried from mile 9 because I was in so much pain with my stomach. And yeah, I shared it. I just kind of said, I am really struggling here. And I had listened to lots of podcasts in my training, and I remember listening to one podcast in particular where somebody was in a wheelchair and she was asked, if you could go back to your old life, what would you want to do? And she said, I'd just like to go for a walk with my mum. And I thought, here am I, walking and crying around this marathon, but how lucky am I to be doing a challenge that I chose to do, to represent something that I feel so passionately about, and on 2 feet. So yeah, it just made a bigger purpose to it, and I did manage to finish it and go on to do the next couple. But for me, that was that message of just breaking things down and having a different perspective on different things as well can get you through more than you think you can do.
Definitely. But so that's running, and you weren't content with that, were you? Because you've also done a couple of quite impressive swims, and I think I'll start with the escape from Alcatraz, because that's got a mental health connection as well.
Yeah, so I made a connection to Alcatraz. Obviously Alcatraz is a prison, and I know with a mental illness you can quite often feel like a prisoner in your own mind, and I kind of made a narrative towards the triathlon, which was called Escape from Alcatraz. So I jumped off the boat. I decided to dress as a convict. So everybody else, there was 2,000 people taking part. We all jumped off the boat, and I wanted to make the invisible visible. So everybody else was in a black wetsuit. I was in a black and white striped convict costume on top of my wetsuit. So if all of those people who had to swim at school in their pyjamas and wonder why, I now know why that was for when I was doing this challenge.
It's bringing me flashbacks of the Royal Navy fitness test.
And I remember swimming across, and it's really turbulent, and started swimming and I realised that I wasn't getting anywhere. I was fighting and fighting. So I told myself, you just need to regroup before getting on the bike. And then the bike in San Francisco, a bike ride anywhere, is going to be pretty hilly. And so the course was very hilly. And I thought, again, that's the ups and downs of mental illness. And it came to the run, and the run was past the Golden Gate Bridge. And I stopped and reflected, and I thought, wow, that bridge is bridging the gap. And that, to me, symbolised the family, the friends, the professionals, the support that I needed to get me to escape from my prison. And yeah, it just kind of all came together, made me think you can escape if you put the hard work in. And it just felt like a real journey of mental illness.
Oh, definitely. It sounds exactly like a journey of mental illness, in the sense that it is possible, but there is a hell of a lot of effort involved into doing it. But when you get there, that feeling of accomplishment, that looking back and thinking, I'm here, I've got through that. It challenged me, but here I am.
And I think that can then be used to springboard forward the next time that you're having a challenge, because you can go, well, I got through that last time, and you can put it in what I now term my cookie jar. So, you know, I've got the cookie jars of the good things that I've done, that when I'm struggling, I just go to this psychological cookie jar and make myself feel better with the accomplishments and the things that I've achieved.
Well, sticking with the US then, so you done that over in Alcatraz, and then you thought, do you know what, I could just go over to New York and maybe swim the Hudson. How about that one?
Yeah, this came about, I was at an event with Walking with the Wounded. It was their Cumbrian Challenge event, and they'd got some of their partners from the US, from Sunbelt Rentals, and one of them was an ex-Navy SEAL, and he said, you've talked about your Alcatraz swim, do you fancy coming swimming the Hudson River? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, really? I said, yeah, absolutely. And it was an incredible event. It was 270 Navy SEALs and, you know, supporters, and we ran for a mile on the banks, all carrying a US flag. We then jumped into the water and had to swim a mile, then climb up the ladders onto this massive barge where everybody did 22 pull-ups and 100 press-ups. Now, I'll change it. What I actually did was 22 press-ups and 100 squats, because there was 10 females out of these 270, and I was the only British person and the only female. And the 22 pull-ups that they were doing was to represent the 22 suicides per day of US veterans. So it was really symbolic of what it was for. It was then a case of jumping off the barge again, swimming another mile across, you know, in front of the Statue of Liberty, which was pretty iconic to do that. And then back onto another barge to do the 22 and the 100 before jumping back in the river to do another 2.5 miles. Before then getting back and collecting the flags again, another mile running with the flags to then each stand around ground zero and reflect on around the reflection ponds and just think of those who have lost their lives. So an incredible event, you know, to spend time and to have been asked to go and do that was, yeah, just shows the connection between the US and the UK as well in lots of different ways.
Oh, definitely. We have a long and shared history. And I do like to quote Churchill, you know, two nations separated by a common language, I think is a perfect representation of the two. So you've done some fantastic things over this last year, some fantastic achievements, but you've also had some recognition, Sally Orange MBE.
Yes, thank you. I like to tell people it stands for Marathon Babe Extraordinaire, but yeah, you know, on a serious note. So you know, really, really humbling to receive that for services to charity and mental health. And I've, it's never been anything, you know, I've just spent so many years just wanting to help other people, but to have that recognition is incredible. And you know, very looking forward to, very excited about receiving that in November.
Very good, very good. And we spoke about some of the things that you've done. You've also helped facilitate a number of others in their fantastic achievements. Specifically, I'd like to talk about young Tony and Harry.
Yeah, this was, again, from the event that I was at with Walking with the Wounded in Cumbria. I met somebody who was organising for Tony, and Tony is Tony Hudgel. He is quite well known. It's a tragic story, in that he was so badly beaten by his birth parents at the age of 6 weeks old that he has had to have both of his legs amputated. He's now 8 years old. When he was five, during the pandemic, after Captain Tom, he'd got his new prosthetics, and he walked for 10k and raised £1.7 million by doing this walk. But he wasn't stopping there, and he wanted to climb a mountain in the Lake District, and the guy who was organising it happened to be a veteran. And I'd actually met young Tony at number 10. I'd been very fortunate to receive the Prime Minister's Points of Light Award at the same time as Tony. So I knew of him and said, I'd love to get involved. I said, in actual fact, my friend is a double above knee amputee, and he's just about to summit Everest. I said, I could maybe see if we could get him involved. Well, since that time, Harry Budumaga, he did summit Everest, the first above knee amputee to ever achieve such a feat. And he, you know, said that he would love to get involved. So we surprised young Tony 200 metres from the top of Orrest Head in the Lake District. And Harry tapped him on the shoulder and just said, can I walk to the summit with you? So here you had two human beings with no legs between them walking to the top of this mountain. And Sir Chris Bonington was there at the top to meet him. And yeah, so many people just in awe of, you know, showing what two people together, showing the support. And young Tony was so taken away. Harry had sent him a little video beforehand wishing him well. But I think for him to look and see somebody exactly like him and know what he has been able to achieve, and for an eight-year-old boy to have a role model like Harry is, you know, remarkable for anyone, you know, to have that role model to prove that disability does not define you, and you can smash through different barriers. And I have no doubt that young Tony will go on to do the same as well. And the veteran who had put it together, because I'd also Harry had also recently received the Prime Minister's Points of Light Award. So in the meantime, I'd contacted the Cabinet Office and was actually able to present Steve at the top with the Prime Minister's Points of Light Award. So there, all four of us were with this award. And really, I just think, just shows what can happen when you connect people who, you know, like helping other people together, and the bigger change that can be created and the difference that can be made.
Yeah, well, I mean, kind of linking this all together, you know, it's infectious, isn't it? Those good deeds, that positive energy is infectious, and it does ripple across the surface of the
absolutely
whole
pond, isn't it? You know, I know, with, you know, I've been very fortunate to receive some awards this year, but I make it my drive that the next year I put some people forward for those, you know, different awards, because I remember receiving the email telling me that I've been nominated for an award. Now, sometimes I've been, it stopped there and I haven't got any further. But the fact that someone's taken that time means so much to me. And I have been fortunate to go on and be a finalist, and on some occasions to actually win. But as you say, that ripple effect, and I say to those people that I've nominated, please do the same in the future for somebody else, because that way we keep it, you know, we keep it rolling. And if you can make people feel good, they're doing what they do because they want to do it. But if it makes them feel good, it just gives that extra bit of boost. And yeah, you know, I just think it makes the world go round. Kindness, happiness makes the world go round. And the change that can be made because of that is, yeah, infinite.
Definitely. And it's something that the world needs more of, in my opinion. So just talking with you, hearing your story, knowing you for a while now, some words that I would use, you know, you never give up. You know, you see a challenge and you push through. Yeah, immensely compassionate. Every time I see you, I speak to you, I can see just how much you care, and I'm always taken aback by just how humble you are and how you're completely unfazed by all of the good deeds and the impact that you're having on people's lives. So I'm going to try and, you know, take all of that, bottle it, and then try and apply it. So out of everything I've just mentioned there, how much of a role did your military service, the training that you received through the army, how much of that was amplified or built upon? Because I do know that you weren't going to take no for an answer as a child. So there's always been in you. But you know, how's service kind of brought that to fruition?
Well, thank you, first of all. I'd often don't think I'm doing particularly much, but I suppose the recognition has helped me, and it started to develop my self-confidence and my self-esteem, which hasn't always been there. But I think the fact, you know, I chose to go into the army as a physiotherapist, it's always been in a helping role. It's always been thinking about others, and it is just something that I enjoy. And you know, there is a saying that if your passion becomes your purpose, if you can't find your purpose, then find your passion. And I just enjoy helping people. I think we all do. You know, we get that good feeling from helping other people and making a difference to other people. So it's just in me. And just because I've left the service, that's not been taken away from me. And I think that's, you know, to any veteran, you've got so much to give in so many different ways. You've got so many different skills, and it's just in a different environment, or you know, a different community that you're doing that with. But I have found that by connecting with other veterans, you can achieve a lot as well. So yeah, I've been really grateful of the people that I've met, and the energy that you get from the right people. And I now feel that, you know, where in the military sometimes the systems were that you could only do things in a certain way, there's more flexibility now, and I'm able to flourish a little bit more in a slightly different way, because I'm not sure that maybe running as a piece of fruit within the military always completely made sense to some people. But yeah, it's given me a definite purpose as to why that is.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I know you've actually had quite a few people dressed as a piece of fruit since then. I have also been dressed as a banana at one point. So come on, spill the tea. Who's the most famous person you've made dress as a piece of fruit?
Well, I've turned up to Buckingham Palace dressed as a piece of fruit. So I have met Prince Edward, the Duke of Edinburgh, dressed as a piece of fruit, but I didn't actually make him dress up. But I have had, yes, Lord Dannett. He has Jeremy Vine, CGS, because I think when they hear what it's about, when Mo Farah, sporting icons as well, because I think, first of all, they might think, why you asked me to do this? But then when they realise what it's about, and it's fun, you know, that's the thing. But if we can get young people, and that's where, you know, I'm incredibly honoured to be one of the national ambassadors for the Army Cadet Force, and, you know, getting young people to know that it's okay to talk about their emotions and how they're feeling is something that I want to happen, because it means that they'll get help. It doesn't have to be professional help, it's just the help of a friend to, you know, maybe talk through an idea. And yeah, you know, it's wide ranging, it's colourful, it's fun. And for me, it actually started from that desire of, you know, not putting too much pressure on myself. So, you know, when I was doing the marathon and people were saying, what time are you going for? And it, you know, maybe looking at 4 hours, dressed as a piece of fruit, that took that away. And I just say to people, I'm just going for the time of my life. And I think that's just a really good message, that, you know, looking at the actual journey rather than the destination.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so you mentioned cadets there. And so that's something that I'm a massive advocate for. We've spoken about mental health, and suicide is actually the number one killer in the UK of young people, and I don't feel that we're talking about or addressing that nearly as much as we should. But the work that you're doing with the Army Cadet Force, so for me, fantastic concept. It's been going for 100 plus years of providing military values, training skills to young people from various backgrounds. You know, there's a whole piece around social economic mobility and access to opportunities beyond their means. So it just seems like such a logical fit that you've become a national ambassador for the Army Cadet Force. So what exactly does that mean, though?
Well, for me, I mean, it's an incredible honour, and probably two strands to this. I felt it was actually a real saviour to me when I'd been medically discharged from the army. So one organisation sort of saying your mental health is, this isn't the right environment to you. It really helped me when I'd lost that sense of purpose. And, you know, for young people, and I think also for an organisation, not to shy away from having an ambassador who is open about having had struggles and continues to have struggles, because we all do in life. It is called life. You know, I don't know anybody, and I think they would be lying if people said that they didn't have challenge in life. It's a real responsibility. And I enjoy that because it makes me think about everything I do and live my life in a way that I want other people to replicate, basically. So, you know, if they take up voluntary work, or if, you know, they try their best in everything, or they just enjoy things, and if that's what I can do for young people. And it's quite a reciprocal role, if I'm completely honest, because yes, I am there to inspire, to achieve. That's the motto of the Army Cadet Force. But I'm inspired so often by these young people. The things that they go on to do, the determination, the commitment that they put in, not just the young people, but also the cadet, the instructors, the adult volunteers that are there to support as well. And I think if all of those people who've left the military, the veterans, were to see the use and the value that they have and how they can make it full circle, you know, it helps so many other people. They've had that rung up the ladder when they were young. So, you know, just to be able to go back. And I know that it's given so many other people that sense of purpose as well. So it's, you know, it fulfills so many different values and strands, really. But if we can get our young people as good British citizens, then we make the world a better place. But the opportunities they have as well. You know, I was talking to someone the other day, they'd just come back from South Africa, you know, others that have been to Canada, that have been to the US, and they've been with their friends. Mm-hmm. And if they're, you know, they're making a difference, and the value that they're adding to society, as you say, is immense.
Yeah, definitely. So thank you very much, Sally, for joining us today on this episode of Being Forces Friendly podcast, and I look forward to seeing what you get up to next.
Thank you. It's been so lovely to chat to you. Yeah, and hopefully, you know, your listeners will take some of the things we've chatted about on board.
Thanks for tuning in. You can find us on all your favourite podcasting platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, and on YouTube. Also, don't forget to follow DRM on social media. All of the links can be found in the episode bio.